You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation.
It's amazing to see how far this thing has grown, and it's exciting to see your studio and be in here and see how this has come along as well.
Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I appreciate how you cover NDSU football and everything you guys do.
I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to.
I really appreciate you guys. You know, Ross, Zach, now Bison Report for what you guys do for Bison football.
The host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this Marker Week South Dakota State preview edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. Often one of our most downloaded of the year, Zach. And what a week to be a Bison.
Victory Monday. Late. We're not recapping.
You haven't been here in a minute.
Yeah. My brain's all getting caught up, but all I know is it's Jack's week. I'm excited to spew a little hate. And, you know, it's actually against somebody I consider a rival, unlike UND.
Sure. Shout out Trev. Shout out Cole.
Shout out Cole.
For filling in. They did an excellent job. We actually did put the offer out to Cole Jerick to come talk his shit again.
He's busy working, whatever yeah, that means.
Exactly.
Nerd.
He's a man of many talents. Cole's out there grinding, trying to provide for his family. So good for him.
If you need a house, hit up either Jesse Uglum or...
Yeah,
Cole Jerick.
Forget the Cole Jerick part of that. Just call my wife.
Jesse doesn't listen.
That's true. All right. Sparing in the news, you know, we covered a lot of it on Monday. Although, and this was something that, you know, we said that never happened at North Dakota State. But Matt Zimmer, I don't know if he's like that Oklahoma kid and he's like in a dorm high enough to see what's going on at right. South Dakota State practice, or South Dakota State actually allows media at practice, but he alerted everybody to the fact that Isaiah Davis has been back at practice, which would give South Dakota State kind of that 1-2 punch, and they might get cornerback Don Gardner back as well, which, and getting your corner one back, I don't know if I'd throw corner one in against C-Dub my first game if I could help it, but
right.
I think anytime you get that top cornerback, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of proven that it doesn't really matter who's guarding Christian. It's kind of, but
yeah,
if you have somebody you consider number one, it's right. more important.
Yeah,
rather
that,
than,
that Missouri State kid thought he was nice.
He sure did. He learned real quick.
We didn't really address this on Monday. I think kind of the obvious part, we did address, you know, kind of my take, and we'll get into that. You and I can get into how, from just the end of the season thing, I'm not sure how much this one matters. I get that it's South Dakota State, so right. it always matters, but SIU did lose. So yeah. that's something we didn't really address on Monday, as if you're kind of in the more casual listener, not watching the scoreboard every single Saturday variety. I don't know. We don't have a lot of those. I mean, most of our listeners are pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the situation. Like, North Dakota State has sole possession of first place right now.
Fully controlling their own destiny.
Fully controlling their own destiny, and would still get a share of the Valley title. Would they lose to South Dakota State? And then they're going, I'm just to tell you right now, folks, they're going to beat Youngstown in South Dakota.
Yeah.
That is going to happen.
Correct.
So the question this Saturday is, are you going 11-0 or are you going 10-1? Just right. my opinion. And whatever, you can talk about looking ahead. You can talk about counting chickens, whatever. Just that is the situation.
Yeah, and the goal every year established, the number one goal before even national championships, is to win the Valley.
Yep.
And nothing is sweeter than winning it outright, but it's just kind of nice that that pivotal game still ends up being the marker game, which always feels good that you have that 365-day bragging rights until the next year.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And we'd talk about this, you know, and it's something, honestly, you'll probably have seen one of the two episodes. I shot an episode of Bison Report TV with the captain, Logan McCormick, and then our guy Fee.
Yep.
Phoenix and I chopped it up. Phoenix's one was really interesting because we got into the mess. We got into his issue with the backup kicker at UND. We got into what went on. We got into...
excuse me?
We got into what happened on... NDSU's field after the game last spring. Logan did what you would think Logan would do. Logan took the high road. Phoenix wanted to get into it. So
I love it.
We absolutely appreciate that from number 11.
Yeah, two very high-class guys, but if you know them at all, you know how they'd respond to those questions.
Right, and I got the company line from the guy I expected to get the company line from. 100%.
I love it.
100%. Hoops had a season-opening exhibition game against the NSIC's Minot State. One of the funniest things I honestly have ever seen in my life. 23. I'm gonna look this up here, and actually, I'm gonna tell you right now, folks, that this is getting edited because this is gonna take a little time.
Bad radio here.
Well, that's why we're not live.
Go Beavers.
All right, so my guy Melvin Newbern from Montana State University Billings, transfer, 6'5". He's from Robbinsdale, Minnesota. My dude makes a hook shot on Grant Nelson, 6'11". Their first bucket of the game.
Alien unicorn.
And he does the too small thing with his hand out flat down by his knees.
How'd that end up for him?
Not well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many blocks I've seen with the velocity and trajectory that Grant sent his next layup attempt. And I don't honestly even know if Grant saw that gesture. I don't know. I don't know as though he was even paying attention to it.
Sure.
But the velocity and trajectory with which he sent that thing was truly spectacular. And then, you know, in classic Grant fashion, he just hits him with a double-double, hits him with 12 and 10, adds two blocks in there and an assist with a steal. That kid,
hey,
special.
That kid's a dog.
He is.
I thought you were going to hit it.
I might.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Anyway, we're going to have the head ball coach, David Richmond, here in studio. So, guys, get ready for that early part next week, because that's going to be kind of our long sit-down week. Coach has been, honestly, since that first year after Lawrence Alexander, it's been like six of these real long sit-downs right before the season starts. And, you know, we always appreciate that because it's not something that, you know, not every head coach sits down with their 24/7 sports publisher and chats for a half hour before the season.
Yeah, coach is the man.
He is. They're so long.
Mm-hmm.
They're so long. Even like Coleman, he was the first guy off the bench. He's all of 6'4". And I know Willie Guy is a little guy, but he's only on the floor for, I don't know, probably, I would guess, 18, 19 minutes a game this year. And when they've got those other dudes out there, it's crazy. The length, like the ability of Sam to play a little point guard at 6'6", and then you start talking about Nelson at 6'11", and Morgan at 6'10", and Cruiser at 6'10". They're just so long and so disruptive. No Tyree Edie. That was interesting, but I didn't see a cast. I didn't see a sling. I didn't see a brace.
Could just be a nick and bump.
Well, kind of plus thing. It's Minot State. Right. It doesn't count if you do lose the game. So
no reason to get him hurt.
Exactly. Like Andrew Morgan, though.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
He is honestly thicker and broader than Nelson and Cruiser now, and he's an 18-year-old kid.
That holds well.
His ability to offensive rebound and just kind of be in the right spot. And his stat line was fine. You know, he had 10 points and 9 boards. He actually was pretty darn efficient.
Nothing to shake your head at.
No, the only one he missed was he let a 3 fly, which I thought, good for you. Good for you, young fellow. But his stroke actually looked all right. I mean, he's so physically gifted. And that's honestly, if you're going to get a 6'9", 6'10" kid that's a top 300 recruit in the country, that's what you want him to look like.
Yeah.
There's no shot they're redshirting that kid. There's just no shot.
I don't know how you do with that kind of talent. You know, first collegiate game, say what you want about the opponent, but 10-9 is a heck of a stat line to put up.
I thought Willie was really interesting, and I think I'm maybe taking a little bit of a leap, but he seems to have taken a step ahead of Des McKinney in the rotation. Like, I think right now, if you put a gun to my head and said, who's the backup point guard, I'm going to tell you Willie Guy.
Sure.
And he didn't probably shoot it the way he wanted to. Ended up 1-for-4 from the field. But you could see, I mean, I know he got at least one steal. Yeah, ended up with a steal, ended up with 2 assists. You could really see kind of the way he moves around. And I get that, you know, he probably is 5'10", 5'11", but a lot of Summit League guards, like, not everybody is a tree. I know at North Dakota State they kind of are.
Right.
But he was really interesting. I thought, and then you could see, you know, he was JUCO All-American, JUCO National Champion, JUCO Tournament Player of the Tournament.
Guy's a baller.
He is. Yeah. He is for sure. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting to me, or kind of promising, was just Bowden Skunberg going 1-for-10 from the field. And I know that sounds insane, but he just was not going to stop shooting until one went in. Ends up going 8-for-8 from the line. Ends up in double figures with a 1-for-10 shooting performance. Was able to grab 6 rebounds. He's another one of those guys. You don't realize he's 6'5".
Right.
But just wanted to say how impressed I was with Bowden. Not that, like, I want to see you shooting 10% from the field, but to just, no hesitation, keep putting that thing up until you find your stroke. And you could tell he was just kind of trying to work in so that when the games do start counting, like, he feels like his offense is going.
Yeah, I mean, this is a perfect time to get those shots up. You know, like, playing at a home gym, why not see what it looks like? Because I know, like, I've heard basketball players talk about shooting in different gyms and how it affects them. And
plus, they got a new ball, by the way. It's like neon orange and gross. Everyone hates it.
I didn't watch the game, but those were my two takeaways, is that there are some dogs on the court and the balls look funny.
For sure. For sure.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
Big deck time. We took last week off. We had some unfortunate circumstances, but we'll be out there for the next home game.
Yep.
This week, we'll just be chilling at home. We're going to watch the Jackrabbits get that butt whooped. Me and my dad together, the whole big deck squad. But, you know, as always, we appreciate you guys. Everybody reached out. We appreciate all the support, especially over the last couple weeks.
No big deck tailgate show this week.
Nope.
We ran out of episodes. Be sure to check out last week's, though. There's a really interesting game of Madden that happens on that
one. Skip that one, actually. Wait for the next one. I just let Ross win.
Zach's got a marketing deal and he's like, actually, don't watch. I don't. What I don't want is the exposure.
Exactly. I want less eyeballs on this game. I want that more than I want my companies to succeed.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
All right. It is Jack's week.
Excuse me?
Play it again.
Excuse me?
All right. I feel like we went into, I don't know, as though we got, like, into the weeds, but we certainly got into why you don't care for UND.
That's a nice way to put it.
Why do you not care for South Dakota State?
All right, so I didn't take notes on this, so I'm just going to go off the dome, because the more I sit here and think about it, the more mad I get.
Just angrier?
Yeah. First, let's start with Levon Perry, the high-low that blew his knee out, that pissed a young Zach Willis off. Two, same kind of region. Let's go with the Christian Roseboom on Bruce Anderson tackle.
The old alligator roll.
Yeah, real scumbag move there. And, you know, that's from a top down. My dad always says the fish stinks from the head down. Let's go recruiting. Didn't like the vibe I got there. You know, very used car salesman-y, like trying to screw me over or something like that. Just trying to steal a Fargo kid, honestly. They didn't care about who I was as a player, who I was as a person. They just wanted to stick it to NDSU. Oh, goodness. Let's go to our last year of ineligibility for the playoffs. We were undefeated going into play at Brookings. One of the few times I've talked to my father while he was in tears was losing to SDSU in that marker game. I'm very close with guys from that team, and they still tell me how bad it hurts because that team was unbelievable.
They were, and that one's interesting. I've heard a story that there was a donor that was ready to pay for championship rings.
Really?
Yeah. There was
talk about them playing in a bowl game.
Yeah, and that would have been awesome, honestly, because that was – so, first of all, in the championship ring thing, like, if they had gone undefeated and ended the season number one, even if there was a playoffs, this guy, this donor, he was a farmer. I'm not going to name names. I actually don't know the name. I know his occupation and what he was planning on doing.
Sure.
Was going to pay for the team to get championship rings.
Had a booster that's a farmer without naming a name could be tens of thousands of people. So
roughly 81% of the booster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, and I don't know if you actually would have talked any bowl into doing it, but if anybody could, it would have been Gene Taylor.
Yeah.
Shout out my guy.
He's the best.
And I think it would have been nuts.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, if you talk, like everybody always drops the Meineke Car Care Bowl, really think about that. You don't think that Bison fans would have figured out a way to go to Detroit? Remember, they never been to Frisco.
Right.
Haven't been to the Pecan Bowl since 1990.
Right.
These people, yes, they had gone to Minnesota twice. By that time, I don't think everybody traveled super well to, like, Ball State.
Sure.
But I think they traveled okay to Iowa State.
Central Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you had a 8-3 MAC team at the Meineke Car Care Bowl and you chose North Dakota State, I guarantee your bowl makes more money.
1,000%.
Because they would have brought...
Everyone in Fargo would have left.
And that's my point.
It would have been like a small town North Dakota town when their school makes the Class B
right.
state basketball championship.
Except it would have just been an entire state plus a lot of Western Minnesota.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that would have been sweet. I forgot else why I hate them. Newest one. Let's talk about this spring. We can get into there. But,
sure.
You know, you did with Phoenix, but, you know.
No, let's get into it because, honestly, it's not on the rest of our show rundown. We're not talking about it. So, I mean, we kind of are in the next point, I guess, with the spring thing. But
yeah.
You're, you know, Matt Antz at the press conference, and I should have clipped his. It's been a busy week, folks. I probably should have clipped what he said, but he basically said, you know, he wouldn't have known about it. Unless, I don't believe a word he's saying, but he wouldn't really have even known that this happened had the media not brought it up because he was in the locker room talking right. to you as it yeah. was going on. So not you specifically, but I mean right. the team. So he said that the staff did not address any of it.
They didn't.
This week.
Oh, this week.
Sure.
It wasn't talked about by anybody but the players when it happened. I mean,
okay.
We got our butts kicked, so what were we going to talk about?
Right. So talk to me about that. And just so people, I'll just set the scene, and then Zach can kind of take it from there. One of the assistant coaches, after they scored the touchdown to go from 20-17 to 27-17, basically ending the game, specifically the way NDSU was on offense, just wasn't great.
Yeah.
So a 10-point lead seemed pretty darn insurmountable. Hit the window up at the Fargo Dome so hard that they shattered the glass and yeah. had to that obviously had to be replaced. And then after that, and look, I want to be transparent. That's certainly a goal of this podcast and of Bison Report. North Dakota State coaches, players, etc., have absolutely taken pictures with the Rock in Brookings on their field.
Yeah.
I don't know as though there's a specific hand signal associated with South Dakota State. There really isn't, but what they didn't do is go to the logo. Why do I know that? Because Trevor and I broadcasted from the logo after right. the college game day. We were on the logo
yeah.
because the players were in the end zone and we needed a place to go. And ultimately, that's the thing. They were just North Dakota State was just in the end zone. They were just taking pictures with the Rock. Was it on the field? Yeah. But I don't know as though it was disrespectful. I think there was a real, honest feeling of disrespect from South Dakota State throwing the horns down, standing on the logo specifically. It was a real little brother, big brother thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they finally landed a punch. And, you know, obviously our record against South Dakota State in the regular season hasn't been great the past few years. And whatever you want to count that for, I mean, we win national championships and they don't. So whatever, yep. whatever you want to argue for, how much does the marker matter? I think it matters more because there's a trophy. If it was just the Dakota marker game and there was no Rock, it's SDSU, it's the rivalry, whatever, but it's way different when you get to go pull that thing off the pedestal at the end. I have less problem with, like, the window breaking thing and all that stuff, but, you know, Juju Schuster kind of started that whole trend of dancing on logos and stuff, and it was just like, it's just childish. I don't know. It pissed me off because that's they're doing it to piss me off, and it worked. It's our home. It's our home turf. You know what I mean? Like, that's our logo.
Yeah.
And you're dancing on it after you won. Like, and I tweeted this at Jordan. I think he asked me if I would break glass or dance on the windows if I'm down in Brookings, and I'm like, no, because I've been there before.
Yeah, and that's.
That's what it came down to, was like, did you just win the Super Bowl? Because that's how you're acting.
Right. And that's kind of, I think, the biggest thing, right, is the been there before attitude. And honestly, South Dakota State has. I mean, they won three of the last five. They don't have anything to show for it. Right. But, like, they've won three of the last five regular season meetings. Granted, yeah. I think I don't even know. Whatever. Bottom line is, they haven't ever won the title after doing that. But I know at least one of them came with a playoff loss to North Dakota State. So kind of immediately,
not just a loss either, embarrassment.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, Cole Jurek said the same thing, that the North Dakota State cares about winning the Valley and winning a national title. South Dakota State worries about beating North Dakota State.
Right.
And that's like, even I got thrown into it last spring too. Like, Logan Backhouse literally, and it was an offhanded Twitter comment that I made about, I didn't think he was good enough to cover for Roseboom.
Yeah.
And I mean, what I didn't know is how good Tetzloff and Bach were.
Right.
I would argue Backhouse didn't really have that great of a game.
They just won so he could talk.
Right. Didn't have that great of a season. I know he's got kind of name recognition at this point, but You go look at, you know, some of like the advanced numbers, like the Pro Football Focus college stuff. They don't love him. I know how
we'd refer to guys like that? Weirdos.
Yeah, he does give off a little bit of a weirdo vibe. But like, the point that I guess I'm trying to make, and I don't want to keep dragging this kid's name, but like, literally 2 hours after the biggest win of his career, because it was, make no mistake about it, that was the biggest win of his career.
Yeah.
He's posting about me.
Right. Weirdo.
Like, I'm just some guy. I played college golf at Concordia.
Nice job dunking on me in your hype video.
Yeah, like, I, you know,
weirdo.
Whatever you need. Whatever you need, whatever gets you through it, you know. Anyway.
Just, like, if you win, act like you've won before. And it's okay to be happy and all this, but, like, I can't even imagine anybody on our team getting retribution for that on Saturday. Right. And I guarantee you, if we win, nobody will do that. We're going to sit in the end zone and take pictures with our rock and come back to Fargo and celebrate. That's what Bison do.
Sure. All right. How much does the spring, because this is something I actually did ask both Logan and Phoenix, though Phoenix didn't play in the game, and we actually addressed that too. But I asked Logan, personnel's way different. Your personnel's different. Their personnel's different. It's just different. Like, they're, in my opinion, Gronowski won player of the year. In that game.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. And now he's not there. Now it's Chris Oladukun, transfer kid, and I'm not trashing that. I mean, shoot, Quincy Patterson might start this game for North Dakota State. Like, yeah. It is what it is. How much does that game matter? How much are they watching from that game? How much does that play into this fall? Because I will say this, South Dakota State, two home losses. UND looks like a train wreck. I don't even know who the third co-conference champion was with those two.
Oh my God.
But we are learning, and I think we might get if NDSU wins, I'm going to call it the final lesson, that this spring did not matter.
Yeah, and I think that's – I try to push back on that as much as I can, because, one, Sam Houston State was the best team in the country last year.
Sure.
In the spring season. But as far as the Valley, like, you know, we just – weren't the Bison either, and that sounds like so homerish, and I understand that, and you can yell at me on Twitter if you want, but we just weren't, like, compared to
you didn't look like the Bison,
right? And the only thing I think last season will only fuel this Bison team when we played them in the spring, because it was a straight up ass kicking.
Yeah,
it was not good. It was a real, real sour taste in our mouths after that one. And I guarantee every coach is showing cut-ups more of the Springs game than anything else, because it reminds them every time of what happened.
And honestly, too, Zach, like that, and I shouldn't say this, because, I mean, I predicted you guys to lose to Eastern Washington. Then I predicted you to beat Sam Houston State. which was unfortunate.
Hot start.
Yeah, hot start. And honestly, though, when I realized that NDSU wasn't going to win the national title, was not after SIU. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
They just didn't come out to play.
Yeah.
It was getting their ass kicked by South Dakota State.
That's, you know, I don't want to say anything as because I was in the locker room, but that's when it kind of set in for me, too. I was like, oh, we're going to have to work a little harder for this one if we get there.
Right, right.
We also didn't straight up, like, it's SDSU week, but we just straight up didn't think Sam Houston was as good as they were.
Yeah.
I didn't. I'm not going to speak for the team and, like, we underestimated them, but I was like, oh, they're legit this year. And then the sweet way they lost in Frisco.
I mean, there's been such brutal ass kicking of Sam Houston State. It would be like if you guys played Jacksonville State, you'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and Sam Houston was legit last year, and they're legit this year, and it's good for FCS, and amid all the news, whatever, it's good that we do have some powerhouses that are coming back up and are legit players.
All right, I think the biggest thing for me, and I know they only scored 17 points on offense, and that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
But run defense, if just the way Bison football is concocted, the way the program has been built for decades, but specifically the bowl to climb into Entz era. If NDSU's defense cannot stop the run, the whole thing is shot.
Right.
If they're going to get their ass kicked by the other team running the football, they're just not going to win more than 10 or 20% of those games.
It's all game planned around making opponents one-dimensional on either side of the ball.
Sure.
If you want to stop the pass, good luck stopping the run. If you want to stop the run, here's Christian Watson and Phoenix Broyles and all these other guys. Good luck. On defense, if we're stuffing you in the run, we're going to trust our DBs in the back half. But if we take away the pass game, you're going to have to deal with the front seven. So, I mean, it's all built around limiting teams to take away both dimensions on both sides of the ball.
Gronowski mentioned Valley, you know, offensive player of the year. Weird spring season, but give the man his flowers.
Oh, yeah. Dude's a baller. He had a giant run on us. Like, he kept it and was housed at like 70 yards, whatever. I mean, kid can play.
Absolutely. So, what is Oladukin not doing from what you've seen that Gronowski did? If anything, but I mean, just what they're not as efficient as they were.
Right.
Period. They've lost two games at home.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So, what's going on?
Just to the naked eye, quarterbacks are so hard to evaluate, and that's why nobody's good at it. But there's so much intangible stuff that goes into this that I couldn't really put a finger to. I just think Gronowski played out of his mind last season, which we looked at with Trey compared to Zeb and now DeQuincy is like, it's a hard standard to live up to, man. Like, Gronowski played out of his mind. So, you know, obviously there's a long run of good quarterback play at SCSU as well. Just kind of not living up to that standard so far. And I couldn't really tell you why.
Sure. That's fair. No, that's fair. I mean, they've had, look, you can make fun of Taryn Christian and all those turnovers that game against JMU. And I mean, there's certainly reason to, you know, I mean, there's legitimacy to the way his seasons ended occasionally. Yeah. But he was a good football player, man.
1,000%.
And I think he would have made an awesome Bison, but he was not going to come here and compete with Easton Stick.
Right.
And he wasn't going to come here and play free safety either.
No.
So, you know, so that was kind of how he ended up at South Dakota State.
And that goes into all that stuff that I've talked about before. Like, who am I to fault the kid for making what he thinks is best for him?
Right.
People need to give him respect, you know, all the jokes as far. I mean, he got his brain bashed in against us in the playoffs, so he wasn't himself then. All the turnovers against JMU didn't look great, but he was a baller, usually week in and week out.
Yeah, you would think at some point South Dakota State would stop playing concussed players, but that's a... It's another story for another day.
I mean, are we going to go on a Stig rant? Because I'll do it.
I mean, it goes back to Barry. Like, in 2006, man.
He was dead man walking.
I had no idea where he was.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess the next 2 points kind of work in cohesiveness. Winkleman and Sanders, one's a defensive end, one's a defensive interior guy. They've been awesome. They've been really good at keeping these linebackers clean. Adam Bach is a stud. He's about a 205. I mean, he really is like kind of James Kaser to the way I see, except I think he does an even better job against the run as far as keeping himself clean or taking on blockers. He's not a big guy, but he is an impressive football player.
Yeah.
And this, I guess, is where I want your expertise in that. North Dakota State finally got the tailback run going.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Coach Entz called them out. I called them out. Whoever called them out, offensive line, tight ends, fullbacks need to do better. It is not on the machines. That was my opinion.
Yeah.
And coach's apparent opinion as well. Did they run the ball well because they played Indiana State, or do you think they have taken a step?
I think they took a step. Okay. I think they stepped up to that challenge, and obviously the opponent makes it easier. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of execution that made me a lot happy, a lot more happy last Saturday than I was previously. Because, I mean, obviously, but even stuff like you want to talk about Kobe's 97-yard run,
mm-hmm.
that's a bounce back from people blocking backside. And obviously, I tweeted out the Cody Mauch video. There was a lot of that hustle and execution, and they played with heart on Saturday, and it just needs to keep showing up week in and week out because that's what you expect of NDSU old linemen.
The funniest thing too, or the thing that I don't think people even understood was the fact that, that Miller and Volson were absolutely yeeting two guys into their own sideline while Cody was doing the get up ESPN block.
Everybody got some.
It was amazing.
And like, truly, I'm not just saying this because he's my friend. When me and you watch games over, I can point out a play every week where Cody does something like
yeah.
that. He's a true freak show. And I mean, Cordell is just seriously so dominant. It's boring every yeah. Saturday because he just takes care of anybody in front of him. But those three in the middle, Nash is my boy, Kubis is my boy, and Jalen, all my guys. But I saw market improvement from those three last week, and it kind of equated to the success no matter who they were playing on last Saturday.
Do you want to know when there was also some market improvement?
When's that?
When Cordell played guard.
I will refrain.
I'm just saying, and Cole said the same thing. That setup where Mason Miller plays right tackle and Cordell plays right guard is nasty.
Yeah. And Cordell is a guard. I've had that conversation.
He's also at the next level. He's a guard.
1,000%. I love you, Cordell.
I hope. I really do
hope. I'm going to go change my cell phone number.
I really do honestly hope that we see some of that. And I'm not dumping on Jay Kubis.
Yeah.
That is your most talented five.
I think so, and I think there's a mix of who it could be at the right tackle spot.
Yeah.
I think it could be
Jake Rock.
It could be Jake Rock, or you want to get real crazy?
Sure.
Let's play the Gray Zabel center game or Westy center game, and let's move Jalen Sundell out to right tackle.
Bro, I've been trying to do that for years. Ain't gonna happen.
Me too. I wanted to start at center in the spring.
I'm sure you did. The Sundell to tackle, I think.
Jalen's a tackle too.
I don't. Whatever. I'm over it. Ain't nobody going to listen to me.
No, me either. They're going to yell at me, though.
All right. I think, you know, we're about half an hour into the show. We haven't discussed it yet. I'm going to have a real hard time taking number 7 off the field.
Me too. I think we're on the same page for that. And I don't want to get this construed because there's been a lot of dumping on Quincy.
Yeah.
This is not anything that... Okay, first of all, I missed the recap, obviously, but I wanted to make this point because Cole Payton went in before Quincy did last week.
He wasn't available.
Which tells me
not
that...
Not available.
Yeah. You know, all the Jedi mind tricks of who's the number one on the depth chart and all this stuff. And
by the way...
Quincy was listed number one, correct?
Yes, he was. Cole Payton?
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Not even the touchdown run.
He makes me giddy, man.
Not even the touchdown run. The one where he rolled to his bad hand and beat that edge defender to the corner and got 6 yards, that angle that he erased, I don't even know if stick erases that angle.
I was going to say, I saw a little number 12 there. Exciting. But back to, it's not anything because of Quincy's performance. I just think Cam is too hot right now to take him off the field. And I think he gives you the best chance of winning.
I think their best chance of winning, and I'm going to get into our last kind of X's and O's point or our last analysis point here. I think you win this game by throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just, the whole offensive staff just died. Everyone just keeled over.
Yeah, and every fan that is listening. And a little bit of me, too.
I understand the desire to run the football. Right. I understand what North Dakota State football is. In this game, against these players, I would run the ball as much as you need to
right.
to be able to throw it effectively.
Exactly. And we've talked about this point before with the offense. Is like, why sit here and bang our head against the wall if you have number one and 87 and 81 and they're open because the run game is, they're stifling it? Go beat them with the pass.
Yeah. Because honestly, they missed Tetzloff.
Mm-hmm.
And good for him. I think he's going to be a doctor. I think that's why he didn't come back, honestly.
Yeah, go get your money, King.
And they miss him, and Bach is all of 5'11", 205.
Who's he guarding?
Awesome player. Yeah. I really like Adam Bach.
Yeah.
He is not covering Babo or Gindy. And you can, I don't
give, it doesn't matter who they throw out, nobody's guarding one.
No, exactly. Don Gardner, Gardner Minshew, it don't matter.
Like, I don't know. The LeBron meme.
Exactly. I don't care.
Garden salsa chips don't matter.
Yeah. One is, and we do say it every week. One's their biggest matchup.
1,000%.
And specifically against these guys, I don't love what South Dakota State has in the secondary. I love their D line.
Yeah.
And I really like their linebackers. I am not as high on the back end. And so one is your matchup.
And this is kind of a recurring theme, and it's strictly because it's hard to recruit a lot of good defensive backs.
Yeah.
There's just like that talent pool is so big of guys who get recruited to play it, but not many are elite at it.
Uh-huh. And here's the other thing. It's no one's fault. It's not Quincy's fault specifically. 11 and 1 have a lot more chemistry with number 7.
Yeah, I think that's just a being on campus longer thing.
Right. And you can see it. You can see Phoenix's numbers tick up when Cam comes in.
Yeah.
You can see Watson, obviously, his not special teams, not running the ball. His pass reception production has risen. And not necessarily by yardage, because number 2 is real good at letting that 70-yard mm-hmm. one on. But I'm talking about your intermediate stuff, your quick game stuff. Your 20-yard catches, your 14-yard catches.
Stuff where timing is important.
Exactly. It was just better with Cam.
Yeah, and, you know, I pointed this out to you, too, and this isn't a personal attack. And it was just a strict observation last week.
Uh-huh.
It seems like everybody plays with more energy when Cam's in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. And because I told you, like, we roll with whoever the quarterback is. It doesn't matter who it is, we roll. But, you know, it seemed like the boys kind of strapped it up and played a little harder. And that might have been from a – rebounding from what some would call a poor performance.
Yeah.
I don't know how you take Cam off the field, but with that being said, I want to see the Quincy packages like we talked about.
For sure.
Because QB run, meet him in the B gap. Have fun.
Yeah.
You're 5'11", 205. You're a good player.
Yeah.
But drop that head, see what happens.
Right. Yeah, and I think, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, here's the take I gave Cole, and I'm going to let you have it. And I kind of did at the beginning of the show. I don't think this one is super important. It's The Rock.
That's the only importance tied into it.
Yeah, it's The Rock. And I think for the team, there's some feelings.
Sure.
Like, I think Cordell's going to be in a blackout fit of rage.
Like UND level.
Yeah. Like, by the time the bus gets past Watertown, like, Cordell's just not even going to be on this planet.
Right.
And I think all that stuff's important. I think beating South Dakota State's important. I think it's important for recruiting. I think it's important to let Big Brother know where he stands. It's all important. The actual outcome of this game is not that important.
Correct.
They can lose this game, win the next two, and I know people are like, well, this team's undefeated, this, that, whatever.
It's not going to shake out that
way. Folks, a 10-1 NDSU team is getting the number 2 seed.
Yeah.
Because Sam Houston's not losing.
Right.
So a 10-1 NDSU team that is Valley champions, and you can make, I get people, well, what about Southern? Southern has been ranked below NDSU all year.
Right. So for that to change at the last ranking that matters would be absolutely bananas. Exactly. It's not going to happen.
So ultimately going down and losing this game is just not a huge deal because a playoffs throughout at home is still on the table.
Yeah.
Missouri Valley Championship is still on the table.
Yep.
National Championship is still on the table.
The only level of importance that comes for me, and this is very much you getting the company line, is one, if we lose, I want to see us lose where we didn't take a step back, I feel like. yeah. where we still played a high quality football and even took a step forward. We play a good game in the trenches. Everybody executes on defense. I'm going to be.
Then they're not going to lose.
Correct. But I'm just saying if SDSU plays out of their mind and sure. we lose by a field goal, I want to feel good with the performance no yeah. matter what the result on the scoreboard is.
Because here's the thing, and I'm going to kind of use this to segue into the predictions because we're getting a little long on this one.
It's 2 hours to Brookings. It's all right.
Exactly. South Dakota State absolutely needs this game.
Yeah.
And I want you to think about this. This is a very, very, very short side tangent. And just the appreciation, lack of appreciation I think that the coaching staff gets and that basically the program gets. I think our expectations as Bison fans have been so skewed and mm-hmm. are so unrealistic. Really think about, and maybe it is. I don't go down to Brookings. I don't read their paper. I don't go on their message boards.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if North Dakota State had already lost 2 home games right. and was welcoming South Dakota State in a season after losing the national championship game. Imagine how toxic our fan base would be right now.
Yeah, and not only the fan base, I wouldn't feel great about the game.
Sure.
You know, but just, yeah, I mean,
so you
we get yelled at for wins. So, like me and you.
Yeah,
wins. I can't imagine what the coaches' mentions look like.
Wins that aren't winny enough.
Right. You didn't win hard enough.
Yeah. But when you really grasp that, then, yeah. you've got four, the way their schedule works is you've got 4 conference home games. North Dakota State has an opportunity to guarantee the best they do is 1-3 at home. 3 home losses. Not only that, but it puts your season on life support. First of all, you lose that 3rd game after Thanksgiving, you're not playing at home, period.
Yeah,
you're not playing at home. You also, my opinion, you lose that 3rd game, that makes the game in Verm your season.
Yeah.
You go 7-4 losing to every good team you've played. You're not in.
No.
You're not in.
Right.
North Dakota State wants this game. South Dakota State needs this game.
Yeah. And that's like, and that's strictly from a fan perspective. You know, that's us thinking logically.
Yep.
The boys just need to take care of business because you win this one.
Yeah.
Valley champs.
You have 1 seed. I think 1 seed. I think you.
Yeah. You know how. Okay, think about the seating committee.
Yeah.
Think about what makes sense.
Right.
And then understand that the opposite's going to happen.
Sure.
So we're on the same page.
So, prediction time. I'm going to go first, okay?
Okay.
It has been in a fall season. I'm going to throw out the spring. In a fall season, I have not predicted North Dakota State to lose since Iowa. Think about how long ago that is.
Long time. Wasn't even in college.
I predicted them correctly to win every game in 19. I predicted them correctly to win every game in 18. I missed the loss at SDSU. I picked them to win in Brookings the year that they won, or that they lost in Brookings where Stick turned it over 3
2017,
times.
2017, yep. Yeah.
So it has been since 2016 that I have predicted a loss. I've got 27-24 Jacks.
Stinky of you.
I know. I just, for the reasons that I outlined, I think this team is going to be as desperate. First of all, it's their Super Bowl like it is every year.
Right.
And I think our staff is going to do a decent enough job of getting our group prepared. But South Dakota State's season is literally on life support if they lose this game.
Yeah.
And nothing is more important to that program than beating NDSU.
And beating NDSU to save their season.
Right. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong. I don't think anybody has any questions about that.
Beat you up.
Probably going to be relatively insufferable if I am wrong.
Yeah. Mainly from me. 21-10 Bison, baby. Let's roll.
All right. So that's yours. 21-10 Bison.
Yeah.
That would be quite the deep. So,
and that's why me and you are looking at the same coin. I'm just looking at the other side of it.
Sure.
They see this chance to stomp out a rival at home, give them their 3rd loss, makes it tough for them to make the playoffs.
Yep.
I think the boys are hot. And I told you before Missouri State, I had this weird feeling that, you know, something was going to go wrong and it was going to be close, and
you
it was.
You got a weird feeling something's going to go right?
I have a amazing feeling that something's going to go right.
Okay.
And like I said on Twitter, I will be in Brookings drinking all of their beer after a Bison win.
All right. Thank you so much, Zach, for taking the time. Thank you to the Big Deck Barbecue Company for being the title sponsor of this podcast. And thank all you wonderful people for listening. Bison fans that are going to the game, have a safe drive down to Brookings. Everybody have a phenomenal weekend. And go Bison.